Well, good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas, and this is our live weekly prophecy reality edition. It's Wednesday morning. The chat room is open at firstamendmentradio.net/chat, and the studio cam is on. So come on over and join us if you're able. Otherwise, just keep listening where you are or as you're working or playing or whatever it is you're doing this morning. Okay, today, well, again, we have news and those kind of items during the first hour, news headlines, taking a look at the world scene and perhaps related to prophecy and the reality of history. Prophecy as unfolding as history, because that's what it's all about. Because prophecy is history in advance. And in the second hour, we'll perhaps jump a little deeper into specifically the revelation and where we're at. Perhaps we'll discuss a little more about the seventh vial pouring out, which is the last vial of the judgments of the last series of the Revelation judgments before, of course, Christ returns and the Battle of Armageddon and all of that. So we'll get to that. So you want to hang on to that, hang on for the second hour to take part in that discussion. And comments, questions, anything on the Revelation, anything having to do with what people are saying out there in other prophecy circles or whatever, I'd be glad to consider and answer any questions I can, or even research and come back with an answer later, because I don't know everything, but I'm trying as hard as I can to know as much as a man can possibly know about apocalyptic prophecy. So I've been studying it a very long time. Okay, let's start with the Babylon Bee. I'm subscribe to their email letter, so they send me these emails. And their first funny business for the day is Dodgers summon Satan to throw out first pitch at Pride Night. And I guess this is all over the trans queens or something. Or anyway, let's see. In an effort to further smooth things over, following the controversial decision to re-invite LGBTQ plus MNNOP, activist group Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, what a fitting name for a bunch of sinning perverts. Perpetual Indulgence, yeah. That's what, they're going to be indulged perpetually in hell forever in the lake of fire. But anyway, the Los Angeles Dodgers have now summoned Satan himself to throw out the ceremonial first pitch at Pride Night. And, you know, they're sticking with that pride. I mean, you gotta applaud them for that. I mean, they're really sticking with that pride name, you know, being one of the seven deadly sins. I think the most deadly sin of all is pride. And the Bible explicitly says that pride goeth before the fall. So, yes, and it definitely comes in after the fall, too. These people are proud that they've fallen. They're proud that they're going to burn in the lake of fire forever. Yes, what a thing to take pride in. You know, I might take pride in a good job, but it's not an ungodly pride. I may take pride in the good things that God has done in my life. So there's a deadly pride, and I'm not sure it's really... The other type is like being proud of your work, they say, but taking due satisfaction in a job well done isn't necessarily the sinful pride that they try to attribute it to. I think there's a big difference in taking satisfaction and doing your best. You know, it's not really, doesn't have to be pride, but because you have to, in order to do your best, you have to be satisfied to do your best, because you can't be satisfied with less. I think that would be pride. That would be saying, yeah, they're just going to accept what I'm willing to do. That would be more prideful, I think. Anyway, let's see what other funny business we got going on over here. Google Doodle celebrates first indigenous transgender water skier with no legs. And maybe if you know what Google Doodle is, I don't know, is that like, yeah. Anyway, if you're familiar with Google Doodle, that might make you chuckle. There you go. Since I have no idea what Google Doodle is, it doesn't do it for me. I like this one here. Let your friends know you're drinking a real beer. Well, I don't drink beer myself, but cheers to not being a Fruit Loop sissy boy. And so we have several photos of a beer can that says not Bud Light. Oh yeah, buy now. I think they're actually selling these, maybe. Those are can warmers, you know, that you put your can in and it says not Bud Light. So it may be that Babylon is selling these. So you could use it for your poopsie, a Pepsi drink or whatever you buy in a can. The only thing I buy in cans is V8. Yeah. So I could get one for my, to drink my V8, not Bud Light. There you go. So yeah, like that. Cheers to not being a Fruit Loop sissy boy trying to celebrating your first year as a girl. Gee. Too much. It's hilarious, but it's tragic at the same time. It's tragic for that guy pretending to be a girl. I hope that one day he will repent and submit himself to the Almighty. Yeah, I could say that. Okay, let's see what else we got here. Sanctuary City bummed now that it has to do the actual sanctuary part. Yeah, they put their proverbial foot in their proverbial mouth, or their actual mouth, I should say. That's a good foot and mouth story there. Sanctuary City bummed now that it has to do the actual sanctuary part. So, I mean, if there's anything that they could get China Joe Biden, who works for the Antichrist, he's the Roman procurator for America, or at least the mouth for the beast, or for that papal beast anyway. If there's anything to get him to back up on the whole thing, it may be the election coming up, maybe, unless they've really just got the fixes in for cheating. A lot of people are still, you know, believing that's the way, but there's still a lot of people fighting against that, so I'd like to see them win on that, but now that they have to do the actual sanctuary part, so let them complain to their boss, Joe, over there in the city of the state, Washington, D.C., or the city, yeah, that one, that city state over there that has control of America. All right, let's see what else we got. Oh, everybody's a Southern Poverty Law Center classifies everyone not currently wearing a pride shirt as a hate group. And you know what I noticed about this is that the guy that's making the announcement for SPLC is not wearing a pride shirt. So they must be a hate group. I think they got it right. Actually, this is just Babylon Bee humor there. But yes, I think Southern Poverty Law Center is one of the first and top hate groups in America and has been for a very, very long time. So if you're a hater, you want to go to them to find out who you should hate as a hater. And, okay, let's see what else. Not funny. Okay, here we go. California grants Lakers reparations of 10 extra points after playoff loss. So, and you see this, the smirk of the Governor Newsom there. One of the Antichrist minions. Yes. Jesuit trained governor there of California signing the legislation. They actually, The good news is they only tossed out reparations. It was only all virtue signaling. They have the legislature, neither the legislature nor the California governor has any intention of doing it because guess what? They suddenly find themselves broke and having no money. Yes. After the billions that Donald Trump gave them and the governor gleefully patted himself on the back before the whole state claiming that California is running budget surpluses. Yes, during the COVID years they were, because Donald Trump, with his warp speed thing that he passed, emergency measures, just helicopter dropped money on all the states that went along with calling some people non-essential, making people wear masks. Yeah, Donald, I don't know. See, Donald needs to double down and actually say that I will never do that again. But I haven't heard that from him yet, so I'm not too sure about Donald. I'm not too sure about a lot of people. Governor DeSantis over there in Florida done a lot of good things, but then he went over to Israel and signed some legislation, prohibiting free speech in his own state if they talk about Israel in a way that they don't like it. So he's not all about free speech there. So really, really unhappy to see that kind of thing coming from Governor DeSantis. So I don't trust him either. Sorry, folks. Who do I trust? Nobody. Yeah, I just pray to the Almighty that perhaps we could get a balanced ticket like Trump, Kennedy. Yeah, and DeSantis, we'll watch him for another 4 years and see how he does, if he passes any more anti-First Amendment legislation like he just did. And he actually went to another country because he was more concerned about what his own state, the people in his own state, would their liberty to speak about that other country, that they didn't like it. So he's going to restrict free speech in his own state for another country. Where is his loyalty anyway? So there's a check against. You know, I like it when they do good things, like David Knight says. When they do the right thing, I like it and I'll proclaim it. But when they do the wrong thing, I'm not going to turn my head and totally ignore that. Because if they want to get better, they need to take the criticism and weigh it out. He is not the governor of Israel, and he is not the governor of the state of Florida to pass legislation that Israel likes. Because I'm pretty sure that only deluded people who think that the actual Jews over there with their gay parades and they're bobbing their heads at the wall of the Temple Mount, they think that they are God's chosen people, but they are not. God's chosen people are the ones that follow Jesus, that follow the Lamb wheresoever he goes. Those are God's people. And yes, there are some of them over there in Israel, and there are some in every nation on earth, because God's nation, his holy nation, is intranational. Is that how you say it? Intranational? That means that it trans, it goes beyond all the borders of all the nations. His nation is scattered over the whole earth. It's not the people of the flesh that call themselves Jews over there now. And, okay, let's see what else we got here. Oops, we ran out of funny stuff from the Babylon Bee. But we do have a lot of headlines here. Let me check the chat room. Good to see you there, Stephen, Ellie, Fireman Mike, and, you in the, Engelchen in the chat room. Got your name in the wrong spot. Doesn't your browser save that? Mine does. Or unless you're using a different browser today. But yeah, you got your name on the message line instead of the name line. Okay, so hey, come on over to the chat room. Questions, comments. I'm going to check it every occasionally to see. It's not a very fast-moving chat room because there's not very many people over here. We are still being shadow banned. Yeah. They're doing a good job over there at Google of shadow banning us. All right, let's see what else we got. Got some, let's see. Let's see what I have up here in these tabs. Okay. Yeah. Former Deputy National Security Advisor claims CIA, FBI, DOJ will rig 2024 elections. So if you're thinking that we're going to have, that America is going to have fair elections this time for sure, well, this lady here does not think so. And that, you know, I applaud her for saying it in public. Okay. Let's see. What does she say? Former Deputy National Security Advisor KT McFarland, who served for the first 4 months of the Trump administration under Michael Flynn, says that the deep state is going to rig the 2024 U.S. election following their success in 2020. And also their, well, they had a failure in 2016, but they did rig that election. They just didn't rig it enough. As I said before, they went over the top. They had to go over the top. They learned their lesson in 2016, unless they cheated over the top. Say that wasn't normal. Normal cheating got Barack Obama elected, George Bush, or whoever, because they've been cheating for decades. Okay. But finally, you know, when the last time they had a populist candidate who, they couldn't cheat against was, Ronald Reagan. That was, and then we come along and we have Donald Trump, the first populist candidate to be seen since Ronald Reagan, and he blew their cheating out of the water. I mean, Hillary Clinton thought she had it in the bag, didn't she? Yes, and then they cried, oh, election, they denied the election. Yes, all the Democrats, because we cheated, we should have won. But no, it must have been the Russian collusion thing. So they attacked him, and we all know how that turned out. Finally, we now have a 300 plus page report on that nonsense, don't we? Yes, we do. All right. We'll really need to see any more on that one there. Okay. Here's another one. Gorsuch, COVID lockdown mania stripped civil liberties. Well, you know, it's nice of him to notice now. Yeah. Here we are after 3 years after the fact. But, you know, they've taken three steps forward and now we're going to take one baby step backward. Thank you for that, Gorsuch. But at least he's admitting that publicly. And hopefully it will help from such things. Like another lockdown ever happening again in the future. Yeah. They're going to have to step up their game if they think they're going to get another lockdown. I think they'll have another reason for lockdown. Perhaps climate. They'll have a climate lockdown. That's what I think they'll do. But yeah, the oceans are going to rise and all the waterfront property is going to disappear. And you can demonstrate this to yourself. What you do is you get a glass of water, right? You can see through glass and you fill it with ice cubes, not over the top, just, you know, and then you fill up the glass with water and then you see what happens when the icebergs melt. That when the icebergs melt, the water should overflow the glass, right? Yeah. And condensation on the outside of glass doesn't count. Okay. No, but actually when the ice cubes melt, the water level will drop, not rise. So it's a total farce, people. Yeah. So anyway, but I think they're actually going to try because people are falling for this carbon nonsense because we breathe out carbon dioxide and plants love it. So if they keep capturing carbon and pumping it into the ground, and spending billions of borrowed U.S. dollars to do it. That's how stupid this government is. They're spending billions of dollars to pump carbon into the ground so it doesn't go into the atmosphere. So all the plants are now going to starve because there's not much carbon, you know, carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. There's enough to keep the plants happy. But, you know, if you start removing it or capturing it, the plants may start dying off and we may truly starve to death. Yeah. We'll see. We'll see how that turns out. But I don't think they could really make a dent in it anyway. They think, much more highly or lowly of themselves than they ought to. More highly of themselves, but more lowly of the human race as a whole. Because they're trying their best to kill us all off. All right. So speaking of, yeah, another good article here from, technocracy.news. 15 reasons that prove global warming is a hoax. So, you know, you can do the first experiment in your own house with ice cubes and water in a glass and realize that when the icebergs melt, the water level is not going to rise. It's actually going to fall. So global warming may be a good idea because we'll get more land out of the deal. But you have to remember this, you know, that wherever we've drained the swamp, you know, like they drained the whole valley in California and other wetlands they've drained. One thing they can't do is they can't raise the elevation. So what was underwater once will likely be underwater once again. So that's a hint for all of you people that are looking for a place to live or a house to buy. If the place where your house is or you're thinking about living was ever underwater, you might want to rethink that, okay? Because I believe that everything that was underwater will be underwater again. And it won't take global warming to do it because nature takes its course. Unless they could, like, the big valley here in California used to be a lake basin. But they put up all the dams along all the mountains here in the Sierra Nevada, and they captured all the water. But sometimes we get rain and the dams overflow. Other times the dams burst because there's an earthquake or they just wear out or whatever, and people get flooded. So, yeah, you got to pay attention to your sea level there. And we'll jump back into this article, 15 Reasons That Prove Global Warming is a Hoax, when we get back from these messages. You're listening Across the Border on First Amendment Radio, and this is a Prophecy Reality Edition. I'm Nicholas Arthur. We'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere.
Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust, I will not be afraid. Behold, God is my strength.
Years ahead of the dominant media, FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
The book of Revelation says, "The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ." This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, available for your Android device and smartphone absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today, so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for Missionary Radio, due all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening. The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for Missionary Radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our Listen and Schedule pages on the Internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition. And let's see, I've got Stephen in the chat room, says his wife's having abdominal pain. And he says, how do you treat appendicitis at home? And Fireman Mike says, take her to the doc. There are many causes of abdominal pain, and she needs to be seen. So yeah, if she has severe abdominal pain, I got to go along with Fireman Mike on this one. If she has a little discomfort or something that's persistent, you might be able to treat it, but you have to identify it, and it's very difficult to identify exactly what's going on inside. So you might, if you have a doctor or if you have a homeopathic practitioner, and they're good, they might be able to tell you what the problem is, or they may also advise you to go see a doctor. Yeah. Don't want to mess around with something like an appendicitis. Okay. Back to our article here. 15 reasons that prove global warming is a hoax, from Technocracy News. The climate of the Earth is warming up rapidly. That's number one. Yeah. If you look at the, this surface temperature index, which is based in the UK, records show that show warming from to 1878, cooling to 1911, warming to 1941, cooling to 1964, warming to 1998, and cooling to 2011. You getting the idea? And you'd think all this was caused by people eating cows or driving cars, right? No. The increase in temperature between 64 was the same rate as recorded between 1911 and 1941. Numerous satellites, ground stations, and weather balloons show recorded cooling since 2001. The current warnings of a temperature increase of 0.6 degrees to 0.8 degrees are nothing irregular and fit into the natural rate of the warming recorded over the last few centuries. The placement of these global weather stations should be taken into account. They are mostly based in so-called heat islands in cities where temperatures are normally higher, and few have been placed in rural countryside locations. So, that debunks that the climate is warming up rapidly, because it is not. It keeps warming up and then cooling down and warming up and cooling down. These are regular cycles that we're going through. I'm just hoping for a cycle here that continues to give us rain in California for another cycle. Because we just went through a very, very dry cycle. Yeah. Okay, there was global warming about 1,000 years ago. Medieval warm period. It's cyclical. It's a cyclic matter. No need for alarmism. Yeah. But some people just love being alarmed, though. And if they don't have something to be alarmed about, then they don't feel like they're reaching the full potential of their pitiful lives. Yes, we must be alarmed about something. Yeah, need to change your focus. Okay, reports show that global climate has been cooling for the past 1,000 years, and recently temperatures have skyrocketed. This is, I guess, what the climate activists are saying, these numbers. So that's number two. Throughout history, the climate of this planet has fluctuated greatly. Many ancient people and religions alike talk about a great flood. Imagine that. Which was probably caused by melting ice caps or glaciers, or other theories are out there too. I like the Hovind theory myself, but moving on. Recorded history tells us of a warm period from around 1000 to 1200 AD, which allowed the Vikings to grow, to farm crops in Greenland. This was followed by the Little Ice Age. I guess they couldn't grow crops after that. But yeah, that's interesting bit of history there. And since the end of the 17th century, the average global temperature has been rising at a steady rate. Must be because of all those automobiles and cow farts back in the 1500s. Yeah. Oh, it must have been the printing press. Yeah, that must be what did it. All those people reading stuff. Yeah, except for the period of 1940 to 1970, in which the climate cooled off, which in turn led to a global panic about global cooling. I remember that. I was here in the 60s and 70s, yeah. And I remember them saying that we were going into an ice age. But there you go. Now it's warming up again, and now it's cooling down. It keeps fluctuating. They call it climate change. I call it weather. That's what we've been calling it for all my life. We just called it weather. That's why we always wanted to know what the weather was, or what it was going to be, because it was changing so much. Yes. And I still check the weather, well, almost every day during rainy season. A little less in the summer, because in California, we really don't. Where I'm at in California, we don't worry about rain in the summer. Along the coast, they do, I guess, but not here in the valley. Okay, over a century, stratocumulus clouds forming off the coastlines can turn the global temperature up or down by a few degrees, and the climate models cannot predict which way it will go. There you go. And that's from an issue of Science. Yes, in case you want to know the science. Number three, the rate of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere has been directly credited to the human species and greenhouse gases causing the current warming trend. Another alarmist statement there by your climate activists. No, we've already discussed that earlier. But anyway, the carbon dioxide level in the atmosphere has fluctuated due to various reasons over time. Since the Industrial Revolution, the CO2 levels in the atmosphere have increased on average by roughly 120 parts per million. Most of this is linked to the human cause, and during the current century, the increase is approximately 0.55% or 0.5% per year. See also what is environmental engineering, who are environmental engineers, and scope of it. Okay, I don't know. Though there's absolutely no proof that CO2 is the main driver of global warming, that's good to note that, ancient ice core measurements have proven that CO2 levels in the past have often changed after a temperature drop or increase, solid evidence exists that shows that as temperatures fluctuate naturally through solar radiation, other galactic and local influences, the warming of the surface levels of the planet results in more CO2 being released into the atmosphere. Yeah. The ratio of man-made CO2 to natural CO2 on Earth is about 1 to 2400. That means man's portion is about 2 drops if a 12-ounce glass held the Earth's CO2. So what they're saying is that what man produces by CO2, by breathing out, I guess, what else is there to it? It's insignificant. So the whole CO2 hoax is nothing but a hoax. Oh, number 4. The poles are warming. The ice caps are melting, apparently. And we already told you, just do the experiment. You have ice, you have a glass, you have water. Check it out for yourself. Nothing to be alarmed about. If the ice melts, the water will actually drop. Updated data from NASA satellite instruments reveal the Earth's polar ice caps have not receded at all since the satellite instruments began measuring the ice caps in 1979. Temperatures at the poles have not increased since 2005. In fact, apart from the Palmer Peninsula, the entire Antarctic region is cooling down. Ice cap thickness in the Arctic and North Poles are increasing in size and will continue to do so until things naturally warm up. And this actually causes, I guess, if the ice increases, it's actually going to cause the oceans to rise. So global cooling would actually cause the water levels to rise. It's the exact opposite of what they're saying. This shows you how much they know. Yeah. Which is like nothing at all. They're just making it up as they go along, it seems. But hey, people are just, they love it, man. They want to get excited about it and save the world. Everyone wants to save the world. I guess all these people are watching too many superhero, movies and series on Netflix or whatever, and now they want to give everyone superpowers, but we don't get superpowers. Sorry. You know, we need to be satisfied being ordinary human beings that have the ordinary limits of all human beings, right? Now, some can excel in this or that, and we should, you know, we should attempt to excel in whatever it is we're doing, but superpowers, we're not getting them. And I hate all these superpower series where people just start waking up and they all get superpowers. It's just all a lot of nonsense. We don't need to be superheroes. We don't need to save the world. We just need to live our lives in a way that's pleasing to God. That's what we need to do. You can't save the world. And there's no special heaven for people who save the world by believing in lies about climate change and doing their part to destroy everyone else's life so they can save the world. Yeah. I think that you think too highly of yourselves. There you go. Computer models are being used to calculate the future impact of CO2. These computer models can be programmed with a large number of variables in order to come to the conclusion that the Earth will cool down or warm up. Yeah. So, you know, garbage in, garbage out, in other words. So forget the computer models. We don't live in a computer model, and we have history. I'm going to trust history more than I'm going to trust their exaggerated computer models. And didn't they do one to shut down the pandemic that was supposed to kill 0.02% of the people on planet Earth that would otherwise have died from the flu, which mysteriously disappeared during the panic-demic? Yeah, more nonsense. Just another reason to frighten people, speaking of frightening. Yeah. To frighten people into giving up their liberties and becoming slaves to the global elites. Number six, the melting of natural glaciers proves global warming. Well, he has already debunked that in the previous one. And, oh yes, they have a picture here of the glaciers falling off and falling into the ocean. Mm-hmm. Glaciers have naturally receded and grown countless times throughout history. Recent glaciers receding is simply an outcome of the warming planet after a little ice age. Of the earlier medieval period, scientists have discovered evidence that ice caps and glaciers have receded and increased in size on numerous occasions throughout history. It is a normal thing for glaciers to shrink and expand over time. Anyway, this is more driven by precipitation than temperature. There you go. CO2 is a toxin. Here's another fallacy. CO2 is not a toxin, okay? Plants need it. A lot of people believe this. They get it mixed up with carbon dioxide. They mix it up with carbon monoxide, you know, that deadly stuff that comes out of the tailpipe of your car, which desperate people turn on their cars in their garages, shut the doors, and to kill themselves, because they can slowly fall asleep from carbon monoxide, yeah, poisoning. In their vehicle and silently and painlessly commit suicide. People do that, but that's carbon monoxide, not CO2, not carbon dioxide. A lot of people believe it's a toxin and it plays a part in many scientific studies from a purely theoretical standpoint. CO2 is just as important as nitrogen to the atmosphere. CO2 plays a major role in the bringing about life on Earth. It is necessary for plant growth, and in some areas with higher levels of CO2, records show that some tree and plant life can grow at extraordinary rates. Imagine that. So CO2 is good fertilizer. Yeah, for plants. They need CO2. So maybe we should attempt to raise the CO2 in the atmosphere, say, by 1%. It wouldn't hurt us, because there's still plenty of oxygen left, yeah, because we need the oxygen. The plants need the CO2. We breathe in the oxygen. We breathe out the CO2. Yeah. And, they breathe in the CO2 and create oxygen. It's a great plan and it's working very well. It's not a toxin. All right. Number eight, global warming apparently will cause storms and extreme weather. Yeah. Just, it's weather. It changes. There's extreme storms and extreme weather, and sometimes there isn't. Yeah. It's just a regular happenstance. The weather changes and there are different cycles. Okay. Does global warming cause a shorter lifespan? I don't think so. But considering the Earth's climate has been forever changing since the formation of the planet, about 6,000 years ago, it doesn't stop just because our human race popped up. Even during our history, so I don't know who wrote this, but they obviously don't get creationism. They don't get points for, but I think that they're really delivering their message to the people who believe, or most of the world that believes in evolution. Of course, we don't. Here at First Amendment Radio, or any true Bible believer, believe in creationism. Okay, even during our history, the history of man, which is started on the sixth day of creation, the Earth's climate has fluctuated from cold to hot and back again. We do what we have always done, and what life has always does, and what life always does. We adapt. That's right. Does it create a shorter lifespan due to all the major increases in scientific and medical studies? Our current lifespan is vastly superior to our ancestors, and this will continue to grow as time goes on. So actually, until 2020, lifespans have decreased since they pumped a bioweapon fake vaccine into 6 billion people on the planet. But until that point, lifespans have been increasing. So if their theory is correct, and we've had global warming at the same time, that would mean that global warming, ergo, global warming is good for the lifespan of people. And it's not going to end life on Earth. It's going to make it better, because if it's been going on, if global warming has been going on, then actually that's the result of it. So now we know that we should create global warming so we can live longer, especially now that 6 billion people have taken a death shot on the planet and greatly decreased lifespans as a result. We need to increase lifespans in return. There you go. Number 10, does CO2 form the largest part of the greenhouse gases? Greenhouse effect causing gas forms roughly 3% of the volume of the atmosphere, 97% of which is vapor and clouds, and the remaining percentage being gases like CO2, CH4, ozone, and N20. CO2 makes up about 0.4% of our atmosphere. That's 0.4. That's less than 0.5% of our atmosphere is CO2. And if we can, if that increases by 1%, if that 0.4% increases by 1% or 2%, I think the effect will be like nothing at all. Negligible. Inconsequential. The small amounts of gases in the atmosphere are capable of retaining heat from solar radiation, but due to relatively small amounts of them in comparison to the other 90% of water vapor, that 90% is believed to cause 75% of greenhouse effect, which is a good thing, because if we didn't have a greenhouse effect, it would be too cold to live on the planet for life to even survive. So actually, this whole greenhouse thing was part of God's plan so that we wouldn't freeze to death and that life would prosper on Earth. So not a bad thing, really. And then you got these stupid billionaires dumping junk in the atmosphere by the tons every hour of every day. And I'm sure they get government grants to do this. They're not doing it out of their own pockets. And they're getting rich while they're doing it. And they're doing it for money. But they're telling themselves that they're saving the planet. And when they stand before Jesus one day, they're going to say, "But did I work so hard to save the planet, Jesus?" Because you know they are going to stand before him one day. Everyone is going to stand before him on that day. Yeah. And that's going to be a poor excuse. Because you know what? They're going to think to say it, but they're going to be so embarrassed that they're not even going to be able to say anything. They're just going to go, but, and as they're even thinking it, yes, the truth will enter their minds and they'll see how insignificant they are. Yeah. Pride. It's the worst of all. Let's see. At their current levels, if water vapor were to increase just 3%, that would amount to the same level of the greenhouse effect as if CO2 increased by 100%. Okay. And I guess the warmer it is, the more water vapor you get. But okay, the impacts of climate change. This is number 11. The impacts of climate change are expected to act as a threat multiplier in many of the world's most unstable regions, exacerbating droughts or other natural disasters, as well as leading to food, water, and other resource shortages that may spur mass migrations. Yeah, well, we have artificial mass migrations. Well, we don't need climate change and threat multipliers to do that. And it goes on and on. They just, he's got, what did he say, 16 of these here? Yes. 31,000 scientists say no convincing evidence. That makes sense. Number 13. economic consequences, the costs associated with climate change rise along with the temperatures. It seems that us trying to fight climate change is really the worst economic consequence of all. Because, I mean, really, spending billions of dollars to pump CO2 into the ground? That makes a lot of sense. It produces absolutely nothing. Yeah, and it raises the price of all of our products because they're finding these companies to make them do it or pump it into the ground. Yeah, so I guess if you want to get rich, you need to get into that business of pumping carbon into the ground. And that way all the big corporations that are producing carbon dioxide will have to pay you. I think that's how that works. It's like Elon Musk getting rich because every car company for every gas car they, you know, gasoline powered car they make, they have to pay a fine that goes to electric car manufacturers to offset their costs. Yeah. And that's enough of that article. You could read it for yourself there at Technocracy News. And, I guess we're going to jump into a little bit more on what's going on as far as the revelation is concerned and the time that we're in. When we get back, don't go anywhere.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition. We're going to talk about what's going on in the world as far as the political heavens or the political hierarchy of the world and what we see going on today. And perhaps the rise of China has something to do with it. We've been talking about there's a lot of talk about World War III. They get people out there rooting for World War III. It's like they're sure that that's going to happen. We're going to have a World War III. And I keep considering and comparing that with the scripture. And I believe, you know, I mean, I could be wrong, but I don't believe that we could have another greater shaking of the world scene than we had through the 40 years that encompassed World War I and World War II. Yeah. Let's see. I understand. Okay. Okay, well, I don't understand. Somebody put something in the chat room there. I don't understand the comment. He says, I understand. I have to figure out a way. Okay. Some context would be helpful there. But anyway, back to the seventh vial being poured out and how that affects us today. What does that mean? And I'm still pondering these things as I get to my scripture verses here. Now, we believe as historicists, this is pretty much accepted by all of your historicist expositors, that the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. Okay? And we saw three unclean spirits So this was, I believe, poured out during the aftermath of the French Revolution, okay, or during the effects of the French Revolution. But this sixth vial was poured out. But that the way of the kings of the East might be prepared. But does that preparation mean that the kings of the East would immediately, okay? But we saw, and I believe that E.B. Eliot clearly identifies that the ways that the Euphrates, representing the Islamic powers that were a woe to Christendom for a millennium, at least to Western Christendom for a millennium, going all the way to North Africa and Spain in their conquests on several occasions, that was dried up then, and to make way for the kings of the East. But when would the kings of the East rise? That's the question. Not immediately, apparently, but this drying up of the Euphrates powers, we'll call them that, those Islamic Mohammedan powers that were such a woe to Christianity, were dried up during that period. And after that, to where they're almost completely dried up so that they're not a threat to anybody on the earth anywhere now. Okay. So I would say completely dried up. Now that they're completely dried up, the ways of the kings of the East is only being prepared. Okay. Doesn't say that they are going to come forth, but the way is prepared for them to rise up in the future, perhaps during or the era of the seventh vial, and that's what I believe. So we get to the era of the seventh vial. The seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, "It is done." Okay. Meaning the last vial is poured out. It's done. There are no more vials after this one. This is the final one. That's how I interpret the little clause there. It is done. Okay. So it is done, and here we are. We're in that era. And he records, "And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great." Now, if you're a prophecy buff, and you've looked at Old Testament prophecies, and you understand the apocalyptic meaning of the earthquake, okay, and that it refers to political machinations due to war or revolution and things like that. And it says, so mighty an earthquake. So we expect to see we expect to see wars and death and revolutions and changes in the political heavens of the earth and the political hierarchy of the whole earth. So mighty and so great, such as was not since men were upon the earth. And would not the era encompassing World War I and World War II be adequately described as the political earthquake being so mighty and so great, such as was not since men were upon the earth? And I have to say, yeah, it fits. Finally, something that fits, you know. And so that is my, my position that I'm taking, my conclusion as a result of my study of prophecy and history to get to that point. So this takes care of that. We now see that the seventh one has been fulfilled. Is poured out. It is done. The seventh vial has been poured out into the air. Now, I still haven't come to the conclusion of the import of the vial being poured into the air, but I'm going to look further into that because now I got to look at each vial and where and how it was poured out to try to get some conclusion as to exactly what the symbol of the vial being poured out into the air means. But I'm saying as far as the great earthquake, so mighty and so great, such as was not meant since men were upon the earth, would describe that era encompassing World War I and World War II I really believe, one war with a pause in between, basically. Because the war comes from the same place both times. It originates in the same place both times. And the enemy, the primary enemy to those that are affected by that political earthquake, is the same enemy. So, really the same. And since it is the last vial. So now when they're speaking of World War III, I tend to think not so much. That there's not going to be anything mightier and greater, such as was not since men were upon the earth, as there was encompassing that era. I don't believe that there will be a World War III. Like I said, I could be wrong. Unless World War III is the one that happens, that is called Armageddon, and it happens after Jesus returns. That will be World War III. That's what I have to buy everything that I understand of scripture prophecy and how to interpret it. That's what I'm looking at happening. That there's not good. I mean, because you have like what's his name over there at True News, Rick Wiles. Yes, what a name, Wiles. Okay, but Rick Wiles and True News, he's pushing World War III every day, every time you go over there. He'll be talking about, we're in the middle, it's World War III. But is the whole world involved, really? I mean, it's NATO and Russia, okay, basically. But that's not really a world war. World war is when Japan and everybody else joins in, okay, and China and South Africa, and the war is everywhere, you know. Then I believe it'll be a world war when you have different targets around the world, not just little Ukraine. That doesn't add up to World War III. Certainly there's a threat of a world war there, okay, that it could be the spark of a world war, but it is not a world war yet. And I don't believe it. I believe the powers that be, that are behind this, pulling the strings, I don't believe they want a world war, because I think it would destroy a lot of their plans if there were so much devastation as there was during World War II over the whole earth. Let's say we drop a few nukes on America and some and we got some, you know, we got stuff going on between China is affecting the whole area around it, even going to Australia. And it's chaos everywhere, and infrastructure is falling down and going in and out. This is the big threat of World War III. This is what people think of it that's going to happen. But how will the Antichrist get his one-world monetary system if he allows the infrastructure to fail all over the earth? Because the infrastructure to have, internet available so everyone can have digital money, they have to keep that working. It's okay if it doesn't work very well in the Ukraine right now, while they're just trying to scare the bejesus out of everybody and thinking, oh no, it's going to be World War III. I think it's just another fear tactic, another threat that they're proposing to the world because they want people to be in fear, because they do want to roll out their 2030 mark of the beast monetary system by 2030. So I've been thinking about that, and China's starting to look like a good guy. Okay? So, and I had a thought the other day that somehow could they put up Xi Jinping as the Antichrist, and not a Christian Antichrist, but an atheist Antichrist. Because the world, I mean, when you get to false prophecy, who cares? It doesn't have to be quite right. It just has to look and sound right, because it's false prophecy to begin with. So you don't necessarily need a Christian or a Jewish Antichrist. An atheist Antichrist would work just as well, wouldn't it? So could Xi Jinping and the nation of China be the savior nation of the world? Because America's not going to work, because there's too many Christians in America. You know, that lamb-like horn power or division of America is just too prevalent and it doesn't seem to want to go away. As hard as they're trying to suppress it, it just keeps coming back up. You know, doesn't matter how many lies and delusions and fallacies they throw at it, as they're doing right now, and they continue to do, trying to vanquish it and smother it. It's not going away, according to the prophecy. Those two horns, the lamb-like, as opposed to the dragon speaking, remain steadfastly at the same height. One is not overpowered by the other or plucked out by the other. One does not rise up and dominate the other. It just has these two horns during the lifetime of this beast's power. So that says a lot about what we can expect in the future, I believe. Okay? And if you like, if you're going, oh, this guy's nuts, he doesn't know what he's talking about, get my book, The Beast Apocalyptic. And the subtitle is An Exposition of the Apocalyptic Beast Powers and Related Symbols of Daniel and the Revelation. And if you read this book, you will never be able to unsee or unread what you have written. And it will definitely affect your view on prophecy and the book of Revelation, and especially as it pertains to Daniel and the symbols therein. When you clearly see them, you won't be able to unsee them. I'll put it that way. And for anyone who hears, listening to this broadcast, however you're listening to it, whether it's a repeat or not, if you go to my webpage today at crosstheborder.org or nicholasarthur.wordpress.com, find my webpage there and go to the free ebook tab, follow the instructions there, and put in the comment line that you want The Beast Apocalyptic, and I will send you a free PDF of The Beast Apocalyptic so you can read it, and then you won't be able to unsee it. Like I said, it will change your mind about everything. Once you understand what that subtitle says, about the apocalyptic beast powers and related symbols of Daniel the Revelation. Once you see it, once you understand it, it will change how you read and see the Revelation. And it, you know, or at least if you don't believe me, you at least want to get a copy so you can debunk me and do it publicly, you know, send comments on that page there. And we'll discuss it on the air. Even if you think you could want to debate me on it, I'll debate you on it. But I have a sneaking suspicion that once you read it, like I said, you won't be able to unread it or unsee it. And you won't be able to debate it either, because if you're a lover of the truth, you'll have to admit that it is the truth. Okay? So there you go. One time today offer for people hearing this broadcast or listening to this podcast, by whatever form, whenever, go to that ebook tab on my webpage at crosstheborder.org. That's CROSS, crosstheborder.org, or nicholasarthur.wordpress.com, and click on the free ebook tab there. Follow the instructions and just put, I'd like a copy of The Beast Apocalyptic on the comment line there, and I will send you a PDF of it absolutely free. Imagine that. Okay, you don't even have to buy a book from me. There you go. All right, so back to it. China, Xi Jinping. Could he be? This just started going through my mind in the last week, and the more I think about it, the more I think it's a possibility that Xi Jinping may be put up by the true Antichrist to be the faux Antichrist. That's F-A-U-X Antichrist. Because that's what all of the dispensationalists are waiting for. A phony Antichrist to be put up by the Counter-Reformation and true Antichrist for the Temple Mount play about to begin. And that's another book. You look up my book, you can also get that other book free there. It'll be displayed on the ebook tab if you go over there, and you can get one or the other at a time. And I ask people to leave a review at Amazon before they ask me for another book. So you can get And you can get the Abraham Accord, or when the Third Temple is built. The Abraham Accord is an update of that earlier book. And it speaks about the play that's about to begin on the Temple Mount. And if we get peace in the Mideast, so I see a lot of revolutionary type stuff and actions and people, and not revolutions, but, protests going on in the Mideast, especially in Israel right now. So there is a commotion going on there. So what will be the result of the peace process that has now begun in the Mideast by China between the people in the Mideast themselves? Could the Abraham Accord be the result of it? It is already going on in some of those Islamic nations that are making peace. They already have the Abraham Accord going on. So if it keeps spreading and it eventually includes Israel in the Mideast process, then they will get their Abraham Accord on the Temple Mount and the play will begin. Yeah. I'm not predicting that, but I'm saying this is the way it looks like it's going. You don't need to be a prognosticator or a prophet to see what's going on and to see a likely result, especially when it's getting, you know, so blatant and so obvious. So, and I've been looking for that for a while, for that, the Abraham Accord to move on to the Temple Mount. And if they do it now in 2023, 2024, it'll be right in time for their 2030 agenda to have it completed. And so they can stand up. So the true Antichrist can stand up and say, see, the rapture was not a true prophecy. Yeah, all of you poor deluded people. And then the true Antichrist will stand up and say, yeah, listen to me. Yeah. You will go to heaven when you die, right? Because they have to have the promise of going to heaven when you die. But Jesus is not coming back to this world without end, because that's what they believe, a world without end. The millennium, they are amillennials, but they're living in a world without end where Jesus never comes back, but they represent Jesus on earth. The Pope does. He's the vicar of Christ. So he usurps the place of Christ on earth. That's how they differ from Reformed amillennialists. Reformed amillennialists do believe that Christ is going to return, but it's going to be such a brief thing. He's going to return, destroy everybody, and take his people to the new heaven and new earth, just like the snap of a finger or something. Why even bother coming back? No, but I believe that the millennium is going to play out just as the scripture says. And I believe this because of history, because if anything, God loves good drama. And if you don't believe me, just think about the history. What happened? The pre-flood era, the great flood. I mean, that's a little dramatic, don't you think? And then, you know, raising up a nation of Israel, his own nation, national church, roving the earth, and he destroys them twice. No drama here, people. Nothing dramatic about that. And then he sends his own son to die for our sins. But he doesn't set up the kingdom then. He allows 2,000 more years where his people that he's redeemed are murdered, committed genocide against, martyred, and persecuted for 2,000 years. No drama there, people. No, we can't have a millennium. After all that, we get to the best era to come, the age to come, and the amillennials go, oh no. We can't have that. That's a little too much drama. Yeah. A little too much drama for the amillennial, reformed amillennials out there. But their amillennialism does differ from the amillennialism of the great apostasy and antichrist church. Yeah. So, well, I'll give them that much anyway. They're just going to be pleasantly surprised when Jesus comes back and stays for 1,000 years. Yeah, there you go. Okay, let's see. Hey, where's our Darkeja? He's not back this week. He must have forgot. Yeah, I enjoyed his comments last week. The internet's getting worse. Yeah. Yeah, well, just pray for God's hand to be on your wife there, Stephen. May the Almighty lay his hand on Jerry there and hope that she is healed and feeling well quickly, that it's nothing serious. Okay, let's see. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for that. Let's see what we got here now. Your name and where are you calling from? You're on the air. Okie dokie. My faithful caller has called in again. Never misses a broadcast, or rarely, I should say. I think they missed one broadcast in the last year where they didn't call up and not have the guts to open their mouth. All right, well, that's the first half of this prophecy reality edition here. And I have more to say about the seventh vial era, the era that we're in when we get back. So don't go anywhere. I'll be back in a few minutes.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
The book of Revelation says, the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, available for your Android device and smartphone absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today, so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.
Welcome back. You listen to Cross the Border. This is a live Prophecy Reality Edition, and we're looking at the sixth and the seventh vials during this hour. And I was just looking at some of the underlying language here in Revelation 16:14. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world. Now see that addition there, and of the whole world, is meaning that it's beyond, and everything that is happening now is not just in the locality, although that's the primary area of focus when we're speaking of the kings of the east, and these vials and being these judgment vials being poured out. The focus is, but it does add in there, and of the whole world. So this is a worldwide phenomena, the effect of these spirits which are going into the whole world. It says to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. And of course, we're there speaking about Armageddon. And I was wondering about this word here where it says working miracles. And I get this, the poieo, that for the word working, to ordain, to provide, to lay weight. So I was just wondering about there, whether these are actual miracles or not, or whether they're pretended miracles. And I would have to agree with E.B. Eliot. These are pretended miracles. These are not real miracles, but they're working these miracles, okay, or supposed miracles, because they have to work them. Okay, so they're not real miracles. The devil and his minions on the earth, they don't have power to do supernatural things. They may have power to feign supernatural things. And it's like the miracle of transubstantiation. That is one of the miracles of the false church, okay? And one of the miracles of the Antichrist church. But it's a false miracle. It's not really happening, okay? And that's why it's not accepted by true Bible believers. And many of the other their miracles are all false miracles. For they are the spirits of devils, okay? So we have these three unclean spirits that were loosed in the sixth vial after we're given a notice that the Euphrates power that was a woe to Western Christendom, okay, was going to be dried up, that the way of the kings of the East might be prepared. So the way of the kings of the East that they've been prepared for, that hasn't materialized as of yet, as far as that power being a woe in place of the Euphrates powers. I'm agreeing here with E.B. Eliot and his determination of what these symbols mean and what these phrases encompassing these symbols also mean. Okay? And so we don't see that the kings of the East, there's no kings of the East that is a woe yet to the to those powers that were a woe, Western Christendom anyway. So even though it was stated here at the beginning of the sixth vial when it was poured out that I believe the drying up part was the thing, and the ways of the kings of the East obviously will appear much later. Even as, also as part of the sixth vial being poured out, were these three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon. Of course, the dragon is Satan, that devil. And out of the mouth of the beast, and of course the beast is the governments, and specifically in this case would be the governments of Western Europe, and then it says out of the mouth of the false prophet, okay, and the false prophet has his influences worldwide, and even in America, he owns Washington D.C. I believe it belongs to him. The false prophet being none other than the antithesis of the true prophet. So you have to ask the question, if you want to know who the false prophet is, who's the true prophet? Well, of course, Jesus was the true prophet. He was the long-awaited Messiah. He was, that's who the true prophet was, that was spoken of by Moses, that he told the Israel that would appear. Okay? He said, a prophet like me is going to appear. And he prophesied certain things about this prophet that would appear. He would be the true prophet. You don't have to put true before prophet in that prophecy of Moses to know that he's speaking of a true prophet or the true prophet. But when the word false prophet comes up, we have to ask the question, who was the true prophet? So we would know that the false prophet would be the antithesis. So we recognize that the false prophet is none other than the man of sin and the Antichrist, that they are all one and the same, but three different names for to identify one and the same personality, okay? So we know what comes out of the mouth of the false prophet, and he's very vocal in the world today, the false prophet, with many of the things we were talking about in the prior hours, climate change, all of the perversity that's going on in the world. He was all for the pharmakia, you know, the sorcery that was foisted on the whole world beginning in 2020 and 21 and 22 with the drugs, which is what pharmakia is. It's drugs, because pharmakia or the sorcery spoken of the scripture. Now we can relate it directly to the prophecy after what we've seen coming out with the sorcery that was practiced on the whole world. Not only practiced, but required to be practiced by everyone, in many of countries in the world, or many people who worked for, the government or corporations that are arms of the government. So a lot of people were forced to get this pharmakia injected into them. So we see how fitting that is. So we see these unclean spirits like frogs. That means they're very loquacious. They never shut up. And it's very fitting that the one horn of the two-horned earth beast, it says it speaks. It speaks like a dragon. Okay? Yeah, just like those spirits. And they never shut up. And they just get louder and louder as time goes on until we hear this cacophony of evil spirits speaking today from everywhere, and they're drowning everything out. So it's very fitting that these spirits loosed with the sixth vial of the sixth angel when he poured out his vial are in operation even until the consummation, because that's what it says here, that they go forth unto the kings and unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world. Okay, not just the Roman earth, but the whole world, to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. That's the next war. That's the big one. That's going to be the World War III, but I don't believe that that's the war spoken of in the beginning of the seventh, when the seventh vial is poured out. But I believe it is the effect of what is the end of the era and the beginning of a new era to come when Christ returns. Your name and where you're calling from? Yes. We must interrupt the man who speaks prophecy truth, right? Is that, I mean, that what's going on here? You don't like what I'm saying? But hey, I'm just, you know, doing the best I can here. I want to be correct. I don't want to speak lies. I'm not saying thus saith the Lord, but I'm just reading the word here and trying to call it like I see it and relate it to a prophecy that's already been fulfilled in history, and using that prophecy fulfilled on symbols in history and recorded in the Bible for us, and some of it, use that to interpret that which is happening now. So we are in the seventh vial era, still feeling the effects of the sixth vial. So one thing you learn is that the effects of these vials carry on even into the next vial. That's what we learn by the words there at the end of the sixth vial, that says, "For they are the spirits of devils working, which go forth unto the kings of the earth, the whole world, to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty." And then we have the seventh vial. And we're still waiting for the kings of the east. And I'm saying it's looking like China and perhaps Russia, because China but Russia both are geographically east of the locality of the ten horn sea beast area. So directly east, both of those nations. So they may together be the kings of the east. And if they do start a conflagration, perhaps the Antichrist will step in and work out, or somebody will step in and work out a peace deal. But it may be that there is at least a short-lived conflagration between the kings of the east and the ten-horned sea beast locality of Western Europe. So we may see something like that, some type of woe, because the way of the kings of the east is, it looks like it has been prepared, if I'm right, and it is Russia and China. something could happen, but I don't believe that if it does happen, that it will be as great as the conflagration that we had with World War I and World War II, because the scripture doesn't talk about, a second event of that type. But we'll see. Yeah, we shall see. I'll have to play that one by ear. I'm just hoping that if these Kings of the East thing coming in to Western Europe is a thing that looks like something like that might happen, then we have to look for a peacekeeper, either the Antichrist himself or someone he puts up to be a false Antichrist. And so there's a lot of ways these things, because you're mixing false prophecy, which is what the Antichrist has put up for counter-reformation effect, okay? And it has had an effect. It stopped people from protesting. It stopped Protestants from being protesters against the biblical and historical Antichrist and his great apostasy, to looking for an Antichrist in the future and a future great apostasy, rather than the biggest apostasy that has ever existed, and I say could ever exist, because it's over 2 billion strong. So is there really going to be a greater apostasy than that? So we have to, you have to work a little bit of common sense into there. And I guess anything's possible, but just because something is possible, because anything's possible, it's very unlikely that we're going to get a greater apostasy than the great apostasy that already exists. I think it's a greater likelihood that more people will join with the great apostasy, and are, because the great apostasy is inviting people that don't even use the Bible, the other religions in, and they're fellowshipping together. They're accepting everybody in. And so I think it's just the great apostasy growing greater. They're even inviting atheists in, because I believe a lot of people in the great apostasy itself are atheists. Yeah. So if they put up an atheist, faux antichrist to bring peace on the earth, it seems like it would be a very fitting thing to fulfill the false prophecy. Because one thing about false prophecy, it does not have to be exact, because it wouldn't be false if it was. And that's how we know it's a false prophecy, because it's based only upon conjecture and hypothesis alone, and there is no explicit statement whatsoever supporting it in the scripture. They only can support it by conjecture. But hey, you can support gay marriage by conjecture. Yeah, believe me, there's a lot of churches out there today that are embracing the whole trans gay thing, and that's what they do. They conjecture away even that which is explicit. With false prophecy, you don't have to, I guess you kind of have to conjecture away what is explicit in any case with false prophecy, because that's what amillennialism and dispensationalism, and especially the pre-trib rapture, they all are based solely upon conjecture and hypothesis alone, and they have no explicit statement to support them in the scripture whatsoever. And they can't argue with that, because if they argue with it, they always just change the subject or go back to their old shticks to start beating you if you bring up something as uncomfortable as those simple truths. Yeah, believe me, I've talked and debated with plenty of them, so I know what they do. They fall back. And I just pray for them, their eyes to be opened. And hey, if they're Reformed amillennials, most of them, I believe, are just deluded about that one thing, and many of them will be there in the resurrection when Christ returns, and we will meet them in the air when we meet Christ in the air. Yeah, and then we will have our, I believe, the marriage supper of the Lamb is going to take place on the earth while the nations gather and prepare for the great day, the Battle of Armageddon. I believe that there is going to be a period where all of the saints who meet Christ in the air and return with him, because we want the whole world. Jesus wants the whole world to see us, and he wants the whole world to know who we are, and that his great army is made up of people that were living everywhere on the whole earth who were caught up to join him on his return. And then we are going to meet wherever that designated place is, in the Mideast or in the Megiddo Valley or where, or Megiddo Mountains or wherever it is we're going to meet. We'll find out then exactly where it happens. And I believe we will have the marriage supper of the Lamb there, because we will meet and we will be with him forever from that point on. We will be totally, the ceremony will commence. And while we're doing that, of course, the world is going to be gathering together. All the nations, the Antichrist nations of the world, are going to be gathered together to fight the alien invasion that Jesus represents. That's right. That's what I believe is going on. And that's what I wrote about in my other book, The Millennium Question. That's what it's all about. Plus, it is what it says it is, an apology for the killism of the primitive church. So, let's see. What else can I say about it? But there's a lot to digest there, people.
Let's see. I wasn't informed. I think in a contact map that, I don't know what the Earth's seeking to help. All right. Okay. Well, I don't think that comment has anything to do with our discussion here on the air. Okay. So anyway, the last three books that I published, are The Beast Apocalyptic, An Exposition of the Revelation, and The Millennium Question. I have those in one volume, and they're available in a paperback from Lulu Press. And if you go to my website, which is here, as you can see it, and you'll see on the right-hand column, just below the top banner, you'll see it says 3-in-1 volume, The Revelation Enigma Decoded. And if you click on that, it'll take you to Lulu Press, where you can get a copy of that. It's $26.99, but it's all three books in one volume. It's called The Revelation Enigma Decoded, Apocalypse Trilogy, Book 1, The Beast Apocalyptic, Book 2, An Exposition of the Revelation, and Book 3, The Millennium Question. I think it's about 457 pages, okay? So it's all three books in one volume for $26.99. It's really all you need to get to where you need, to what's happening with the Book of Revelation and the Millennium, especially, if you're interested in that. So definitely a book you would like to get. But like I said, for today, I'm offering free, if you go to, the free ebook tab in my website and request that, follow the directions there and request a copy of The Beast Apocalyptic, I'll send you a PDF of that. Absolutely free. Yep. No purchase necessary. Okay. And also, during the week, and it's still, this week, I have been playing my Audible version of Volume 3 of the Horae Apocalypticae, and it will play through next week because it takes 2 weeks, on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. Started playing, but it's still in the podcast. So if you go to our podcast page, there, let's see, it's available in our podcast player. And that podcast player is available at, you can also get that on your device, your Mobi device there at firstamendmentradio.net/Mobi. Press on the podcast button there. And, oh no, it's on the front page when you first go there. The podcast player is below that. And you'll see Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And so the Monday and Tuesday are up already. And I will continue playing that on, Thursday and Friday. But then next Monday, it'll overwrite the first session. And, because those are updated every week. On the day that they are updated. So Mondays next week will replace this week's Monday. So you have all week to listen to it. If you want to listen to the whole third volume of the Horae Apocalypticae, it is there for you. And that's our new 21st century edition, which is available at Amazon. Okay. And this just published, just got it up there on Amazon.
And you can see volume 3 there. So I have both, all 3 volumes of the 21st century edition. Hori Apocalyptica volume 3 and Historicus Commentary on the Revelation, updated and revised for the 21st century. And it's in paperback and hardback. I still haven't published volume 4, but I will publish it for those. And there's nothing deleted. Okay. I did move some of E.B. Eliot's chapters that were replaced. I moved them to the appendix, so they're still there if you want to peruse them. So nothing is deleted. It's just been updated and revised and brought up to date to 2023, filling in the blanks because E.B. Eliot quit writing in 1862. So he got everything up through the beginning of the 19th century. So there it is for you. So you can get all 3 volumes there at Amazon. You just can't get the 4th volume. The new volumes are not at Lulu Press yet, but I plan on updating those as soon as I get through this. But yeah, it's a much better volume than our previous, Quincentennial Reformation edition, which was pretty good. But still some things needed to be redone and added to it, because I've advanced quite a bit since 2018, because I didn't realize that the 7th vial had already been poured out. I was still trying to place it, and all those questions started coming to the forefront as I've been going through this volume page by page, because I've had to read every word, because I'm also doing this audible. So I've had to read every word, and I've done a lot of research in doing this. And so far, it took me several months just to research the changes I wanted to make for the 3rd volume. And I'm working very hard in the 4th volume, too, because it starts with the 7th vial. So that's where I'm at, and that's why I'm speaking so much about it, even now still, as I'm still researching it and trying to, because I want to get it up to date as far as I can with the same historicist method of interpretation. Okay, well, there's our tone. We've come to the end of the broadcast. I want to thank you all for joining me and putting up with me for 2 hours. May the Almighty bless you and keep you. And say a special prayer there for Jerry, Stephen's wife. I'll see you next time.